any daily aches and pains this time around.
I am.
Oh, no.
I am, you know, in honor of the late, great Richard Lewis, I want to talk about my hypochondria right now.
Oh, my God.
So for the last month, I've been stressed because I thought I had oral cancer. Because I had like a white kind of like thing on the corner, the side of my tongue.
Uh-huh.
But it's going away now. I think it's from biting it.
Oh.
Because I would bite it every once in a while and be like, I keep biting exactly where the cancer is. And then someone was like, maybe it's not cancer. Maybe it's just from biting it.
Yeah.
But now I'm afraid today that I cracked a tooth.
Oh.
On a particularly crunchy piece of sourdough.
This is a rock hard sourdough.
Because I was fine this morning, and then for lunch I had avocado toast on sourdough.
Well, that sounds really good, though.
It was incredible. It had arugula on it. The arugula and the avocado together was incredible. Anyway, so then when I had dinner, it like was hurting when I was biting.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, maybe I cracked it. But
cracked it on a piece of sourdough.
But maybe I didn't, you know, just like I didn't have cancer. Like when I had colitis for like a good 6 months, I really thought I had colon cancer.
Well, that's different. Colitis is serious.
But I'm being
it's not the same as biting your tongue.
I'm being glib because I'm being funny, so this is entertaining for the people. But like it's serious. Like cold sweat in the middle of the night. I really think whenever I think I have cancer, which is a couple times a year, think I have cancer. And then I do what I call anxious math, where I'm like, how much will all this cost me?
Oh no.
And it's my life. It's how I live.
Oh man.
Much like the great Richard Lewis.
Did you see his candid camera?
No.
Thing? It was so cute. It's like 55 seconds long, but it's a clip. They came to his high school and did candid camera there when he was 16 years old. And it was like a guidance counselor that would come in and like tell you what kind of job you're going to do. Like,
yeah,
you do that. So he's like, all right, Mr. Lewis, I've been looking at all your paperwork and you're perfectly well suited for. And then he pauses and he's like, manual labor. And he's like, manual labor? He's like, you seem surprised. He's like, oh, I never thought of myself as doing manual labor.
That's incredible.
And then he leaves and he's like kind of laughing about it. And then the guy leaves the room and then he's talking to his friend and he's like laughing hysterically. He's like, he told me I was going to do manual labor. I wanted to punch him. So funny. He's just always been him.
It's incredible.
You know, like even as a kid.
And he's one of those people that like didn't really prepare all that much.
Oh no.
He kind of just went and talked and
wow.
He also would never do pre-interviews on talk shows.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Like prior to doing his
Yeah, he was just going to go act. Out and do it.
Okay.
And do what he was going to do. Yeah, like cuz I heard him on a podcast once. He was like, "Yeah, Letterman got some new segment producer and he tried to pre-interview him." It was like, "Just talk to Dave. I don't do this. I just go out there and do it." Yeah, well that's our first news story.
He passed away. Which, let me tell you how surprised I was that he was only 76 years old, because I thought he was 76 years old when he was on Curb like 20 years ago. He had the bearing of a much older man.
Yes, he does. It's all that anxiety.
It really is. Now, I didn't know he had Parkinson's as well. But I mean, I guess he
got that diagnosis last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But what he died of was a heart attack.
A heart attack, yeah. So that was different. I mean, he never looked to be well.
No, he never did.
That's not true. In Robin Hood Men in Tights, he looks fine.
No, he was actually handsome when he was younger. Like, his thing was like, when he first came on the scene, the thing about him was like, oh, he's a good-looking Woody Allen.
Oh, okay, okay.
Like, the Woody Allen thing, but imagine a good-looking person. He's great in Men in Tights. My favorite.
Oh, so funny. He makes that whole movie for me. I love it.
My favorite Check Please of any. And Check Please is such a classic comedy go-to. But my favorite Check Please in anything ever. Fucking puts the fucking deer down. Check Please. And then the mole. It's incredible.
I have a mole.
Yeah.
The best. Because the bit is that it's moving.
Yeah.
But then the joke is he doesn't even know he
right, right. Blow. He's sitting in a tub and people have straws that are blowing bubbles into it.
It's so funny.
He's funny. Incredible. And then when I was a little kid, I watched that sitcom he did with Jamie Lee Curtis for like three seasons or whatever it was.
Wow. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Did he do like any other film?
He like produced his own movie at one point.
Okay.
He's done a few things. I feel like
Meditites is the big thing. At the same time as Curb, didn't he have his own show? Like, or maybe it was a documentary or something?
Maybe. Well, he was like a drug addict, an alcoholic. So then he got sober like I think 20 years ago or something. Mm-hmm. But he was like pretty bad, which also probably like
contributed.
Years on him.
Put some mileage on him, yeah.
Yeah.
I love him. I thought he was great.
Yeah, yeah. And what's funny is Larry David tweeted about him, and mm-hmm. every like morning show keeps quoting it like it's so sincere, but I think it's a joke.
Really?
Larry David said he had that rare combination of being the funniest person and also the sweetest, but today he made me sob, and for that I'll never forgive him. And everyone's like, isn't that so nice? And it's like, the joke is that he'll never forgive him. The joke is that he's mad. Like, it's a joke. And their story is incredible. They went to summer camp together.
They were born in the same hospital 3 days apart.
Incredible. They're soulmates. They went
They're
to summer.
Soulmates. They're
they went
soulmates.
Summer camp together and did not like each other.
That scans.
And then forgot about each other and then became friends as comedians.
That's
and
a
then,
true love story. Then they realized they went to the like, same summer camp together. Like, oh my
God. It's like when Harry met Sally. It's like they were like, you know, something about you I hate. I don't know what it is. And then they remembered that they didn't like each other.
And then they've been friends for like 50 million years. And a blazer. Yeah. You know, this is a uniform.
Yeah.
I like people who have uniforms. Like not like people who don't have, you know, professional uniforms. Yeah. They just decide, I'm going to dress in a uniform every day.
You know, I think it was Einstein who like wore the same thing every day, so they didn't have to think about it.
Mm.
I
like that.
I love
Neil
that.
Neil Gaiman only wears black, so he doesn't have to worry about matching.
These
people are geniuses at work, right? Like, these are people who...
My brain does not need to waste any money thinking
can't
about...
Can't waste time, made energy.
Money, I mean energy, excuse me.
I can't waste a single moment thinking about what I put on my body.
No. 76. You know what's funny is 76 old now, because I was talking to someone
I
at work
feel like it isn't.
Who was in her 70s, and she was like, he was so young, and I was like, was he? And she was like, when you're in your 70s, you'll think he was young.
Yeah, I used to think 50 was old. Now I'm like,
I know, now
50's
I'm like,
great.
Now like Paul Rudd is 50 like, and he's the hottest
gorgeous,
man alive.
Gorgeous, like, absolutely gorgeous.
And I mean, sure, some of it is that we are older. But also some of it's just sciences.
Yeah,
like people live
don't
much longer
look
now.
Like they did.
No.
Like I look at people.
You look at like seniors in high school in the 40s, and they look like they're just about
people
to do a
who,
shift in the mind.
Oh, yeah, people who are like in their 30s in old movies. I'm like, oh my God, you're going to the retirement home soon.
And they were.
I mean, like the women of Golden Girls, my guy, they were in their 40s, some of them.
If you weren't married by the age of 18, you were an old maid who was a burden on your poor father.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it's like crazy. It's nuts.
Yeah. People are having their first kids in their 40s. You know, it's like, I mean, my dad's 80.
How's he doing?
Not great. He's had some health issues recently.
Did he crack a tooth?
He cracked his brain.
So sorry.
He had a stroke, but he had surgery this week. He's doing okay.
His brain?
On his carotid artery.
Oh.
They had to clear it out.
Was it Dr. Acula? He loves the carotid arteries.
I thought it was, you know, going to be like a tiny incision because they do it with a tube.
Yeah.
Or a catheter, and it looked like someone tried to slice his neck. I was like, what happened here? He's like, oh, is it bad? I'm like, yeah, it's bad.
Fucking looks like a necktie. What's that shit? It's like a necktie.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
I haven't been in a gang in such a long time.
Oh, God. You're really softened up. Oh, well, Richard Lewis is dead. Hey.
But my dad's still kicking.
And I'm glad. Another comedy genius. Worst breakfast I ever had in my life was with your dad. Just me, your dad. Couple of Burger King breakfast sandwiches.
Oh my God.
Just awkward, palpably awkward silence. I remember the first time I met your dad, you were like, hey, he probably has a gun on him. And he did have his gun on him.
Mm.
It was registered, but still, we weren't going anywhere where a gun was going to be needed.
No. Well, you don't know that.
That's damn right. That's goddamn right.
He's like, hey, do you mind if I sit watching the door?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
He still has that gun. Post-stroke.
Same gun?
Oh, I hope so.
Nice. Is he like a one-gun man, or is he like, I have many guns for many things?
No. He's got a pea shooter. That's what he calls it.
A pea shooter?
A pea shooter. It's like the smallest gun. It's like a...
Incredible.
It's like the gun that shot Lincoln.
I want one of those little... I don't want any guns, but I do.
When he was a police officer. Yeah.
They let you keep that gun?
No.
Is it like a dog you could adopt it?
Own firearms responsibly, people. Please. Kids are getting killed every day.
All right, enough. Did I properly introduce the show?
I don't know that you did. You were like, Richard Lewis is dead, everyone.
I said this is PCM, so that's Pop Culture Mantra. Yeah. Your one-stop shop for non-toxic fandom. Pop Culture Ephemera. This is a full erect episode. We do news, trailers, chill sesh, and current obsessions. And I got good things to talk about today, my friend. Such good things. More than just my cracked tooth. So the second...
I don't think it goes anywhere. I don't think it goes up from there. It's just downhill from the cracked tooth.
We haven't even got the chizza.
Oh, man.
Or chizza, whatever it's called.
I don't think it's called chizza.
It might be.
I hope it's not.
It might be. So the other story is, have you heard about this Willy Wonka experience?
Oh, have I? It's international news.
All right.
And the memes have been just
the memes.
Exquisite.
So I'm reading this from Business Insider, which I read every day.
Of course.
Actor hired for disastrous Willy Wonka style event says the bizarre script was 15 pages of AI generated gibberish. It's like, how do you talk?
And so, who looked This Oompa Loompa woman who's been like making the rounds of this famous photo looks exactly like Rachel Dratch. So it has made it 10 times funnier because it looks like it's a character, like an SNL character. I can't.
A bizarre Willy Wonka inspired immersive event has been attracting attention for all the wrong reasons this week. Willy's chocolate experience was such an unmitigated disaster that it was quickly shut down with police called to the scene after families demanded refunds on the $44 tickets.
Insane.
One attendee called the event absolute shambles. Some of the actors hired for the event have been speaking out with their suspicions that AI played a role in devising the chaotic script. AI was all over this thing, and that's what's the most interesting thing about it.
Yes, because all the advertising material was AI generated.
And it had like fake words on it. Like, excitery.
Well, you know what, though? That kind of fits in with the whole Wonka thing. Boy, you really had to use your imagination for this one.
Yeah.
It was an empty room.
But it's just crazy.
Incredible. I just love this story so much.
Well, it's amazing because it's like Firefest for nerds. And
well, no, it's Firefest for parents, right? Because parents are so willing to shell over money just to keep their disgusting little fat kid happy and stop them from crying all day.
Yes.
That you're just like, sure, here, shut up. Put the money in your mouth. Take it. And then they go and it's like a warehouse. It's awful.
It's like Wish. It's like we have Disneyland at home. The difference between what they thought it was going to be, it's so interesting because it's such
one of those Amazon like backdrops like pasted to a wall.
Incredible.
Oh, so good.
Incredible. Oh, I wish I'd gone. it's this perfect storm of things that are like happening now, because there's been the immersive pop-up thing for a while now that's sort of all the rage. Mm-hmm. And then
I went to one AI. A couple months ago and it was incredible.
What did you go to?
I went to the Trolls immersive experience.
Okay.
At the store. There's a store in New York City called Camp.
Sure.
And they do these immersive experiences every few months. They're like installations, like large scale installations. And so they did Encanto right before this one.
Okay.
This one is Trolls. And it's like in the store, it's a store like a toy store. And then if you're doing the experience, you have to line up by the cash registers. And then there's like a wall with like all jars of like fun stuff. And then the wall opens like a secret bookcase.
Okay.
And you go through. And then you're in Trolls World. Like the,
the
quality is so high. It's so great.
So when it's good, it's good.
It was really wonderful.
This
highly
was not that.
But
this
no.
This was not that. They kept, quote, they kept going on about how you could just improvise. Just, you know, you're silly. You're an Oompa Loompa. Go.
Yeah.
I kind of thought it was AI generated, but at this point, I'd sign the contract. That's the other thing that's interesting is it's AI for laziness. It's these con artists or whatever they thought they were. Like, they were like, we don't even want to put any effort into this. Mm-hmm. Let's just throw it all into an AI
machine. The folding tables, the visible folding tables got me so hard.
Yeah.
It was like a garage sale. I love it. I love everything about this.
$44.
They said like, oh, Simpsons did it. And then they showed like Homerland because he charged $40 a ticket for the trampoline in his backyard and like a mud pit. I don't know if you know, like Kate Middleton hasn't been seen since Christmas. So there's like all these conspiracy theories, but like what she was reported to have had surgery. So that's why they like, but they're like, Kate Middleton has been spotted at the Wonka event. And then they had this picture of her because she was like wearing a purple suit at some event. So she looks like Willy Wonka. They're like, there she is. I'm living for this. It's so funny.
Someone on Twitter said.
And like with all the horrible shit happening in the world right now, I'm like, I'm just glad we had this news story to run with.
We could all enjoy it. Somebody on Twitter, X, said, to be fair to the AI that wrote the Willy Wonka script, it's a bold and radical gesture to provide stage directions dictating exactly when the audience will laugh, chuckle, murmur affirmatively, and be visibly amused.
Visible amusement. Oh, God.
I'm a big fan of the YouTube channel Secret Galaxy.
Okay.
They do they start off doing toy stuff, but now they do all kind of the similar stuff to PCMC, and they did a history of the Ninja Turtles Out of Their Shell tour, which was a live stage show with Ninja Turtles singing rock songs about pizza and caring
they
about your homework.
Clips from that prior to the newest Ninja Turtles movie at the Alamo. Yeah.
So in that, all of the dialogue for the turtles was pre-made with like moments for cheering and stuff, but it worked out.
Okay. Yeah, because they look great.
Yeah.
And they were recently spotted at Kid Cudi's 40th birthday party.
Like the real
ones.
The
real ones. The ones from the tour. I still haven't shown Bill that. Like, you have to look it up immediately. You're fully dressed. Oh.
The flex of that. Oh, who's at my party? The Ninja Turtles?
The Ninja Turtles. The real ones.
What ones are you thinking of? Yeah, them.
Them.
Yeah.
Their eyes and mouths
work. These aren't the Saban Ninja Turtles. These are the real deal Ninja Turtles. Yeah. And they're just here to hang out with us because it's my birthday. Incredible.
Like, that's what celebrities should be.
Yeah. You should just be doing silly, stupid shit.
Yeah, you'd be doing crazy stuff all the time.
Yeah. So this article in Business Letter is really just focusing on the AI script. But there's so much to it that's hilarious.
Oh, God.
The Imagination Lab supposedly took visitors on a surreal journey where the boundaries between reality and fantasy harmoniously merge, resulting in an enchanting and visually striking encounter. Representatives for House of Illuminati, the events... That's their name?
What?
House of Illuminati, the events organizers. Did no one tell them what that means? Also appeared to use AI style images on its website. The company did not immediately respond to requests.
Is this a Scottish company or British company that, or is it like
House of Illuminati? Look, and in
It's Bill Cipher.
Yeah, like the House of Illuminati. What do you guys think you're doing?
I don't know. This is a front.
The worst front. The
worst
Illuminati's
front of
ever
all time.
Constructed.
They said their name already failed.
Let's look at so now I'm on their website. Let's look at some of their other stuff.
Oh,
the Mystique Galas.
Can't wait. Can't wait to go.
Enter a world of grandeur and secrecy at our Mystique Galas. I just imagine Orson Welles reading this, like a world of grandeur. Mystique Galas. These events are a fusion of
high Maison.
The French wines. These events are a fusion of high society elegance and intriguing performances featuring mass ballroom dance. So this is an Eyes Wide Shut party?
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to see their version of an Eyes Wide Shut party. I would love. It's in
we
the
have
same
an
room.
Eyes Wide Shut party at
it's
home.
It's the same room.
Just fat guys with like Jason masks.
High society elegance.
The avant-garde art. It's a real... all of this is AI.
Yeah, none of
all the images
real.
Are AI. That's a real giveaway. secret soirees, the just thinly veiled sexuality behind all of this is very upsetting. Enchanted Retreats. I don't see Wonka. Maybe they took that off because it's already stormed the world.
Oh, God.
So this is, you watched Parks and Rec, right?
Yeah.
What was the name of the fake business that John Raphael had?
Oh, it was like Entertainment 7, was it 720?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not Entertainment 360. That's where Mike works, who does the zip line at the house.
Oh.
Entertainment 360.
Entertainment 360
says, you keep yanking on the zip line.
Is it Entertainment 720?
It's Entertainment something.
Yeah.
That's like what this is.
Yeah, it's just a fake business.
It's just like, we got a business.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's all about events.
Yeah. Did you ever, Jenna Nicholson has like a 7-hour video on this.
So, I don't have time for her video. I would love to watch her content, but I just, who has the time? I got to be on an international flight to watch her.
Somebody
stuff.
Tried to do a Tumblr, convention.
Tumblr convention.
Yeah.
Okay.
It happened once and it was a gigantic failure, similar to this, with like everything was wrong. Nothing was what it said. No one showed up. People demanded their monies. The hotel that it was in was trying to kick them out.
Oh, God.
It's incredible. Failure at this level is just...
Yeah.
And no one's dying. It's just gorgeous. So that's the news. So my last piece of news is... some might argue it's not news. Robot suit?
I love Zendaya's robot suit. I'm crazy. About this suit. I love it. I love her fashion. I love all of her fashion. You know, that's how people say it in the industry.
Oh.
I love all of her fashion.
Yes.
I love her moments. I love all of her. I love it. I've been following her fashion for years. She's always killing it at the Met Gala.
Do you know how close I was to meeting her?
Oh. Does she know how close you were to meeting her?
And then the cop said... No, I... As some of you may know, outside of my work as a pop culture man-child, what I do really for a living is I move heaven and earth to make life better for people with disabilities.
Good for you.
And to be as vague as I can be for legal reasons, I was working with someone with disability where, you know, I wasn't the only one there. Today was me, tomorrow it could be you. And this individual was working at a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't go this day. Someone else with my job covered going with them.
Oh, I remember this.
Zendaya goes into the coffee shop and meets the individual with the disability that I could have easily been there working with. And I could have met her that day.
I love that she was so kind and she gave a picture.
She was very kind.
She was like, sure, I'll take a picture with you.
She was very kind.
You showed me the picture. And you were like, look at Zendaya, I didn't meet her.
And meanwhile, the asshole who was working that day was much, much older than me and he didn't even know who she was. He was like, who's this kid? She was very excited to see her. Everyone was very excited. I was like, yeah, because this is a fucking movie star.
She's like a huge fucking star.
She was just dressed like a person. No robot suit.
No robot suit. Just regular.
So the robot suit is actually old. It's from the 90s.
It's Terry Mulgere. I mean, I imagine it's couture. I don't know that it is. But it's a Terry Mulgere suit.
Yes.
It's from, I believe, the 90s, did you say?
Let's see. I'm looking in Glamour magazine. Say it again. What's the name?
Thierry
Mulgere?
Yeah. So
it's not Mugler?
No, it should be Mugler, right? I've always thought
I've been saying Mugler in my head.
It's you're like Thierry Mugler.
it's Thierry.
Yeah.
Mugler.
I've always heard it pronounced Thierry Mulgere.
Okay. That sounds probably more right. It's a robot suit that they made in 1995. And yes, this was the original suit. The only thing is, the original suit had a headpiece
with like a face mask,
which she did not wear. It's highly influenced by Futura from
Metropolis.
Yeah, Metropolis. Yeah. And then that artist, I forget his name, that did like the sexy robots. Like, I think there's like album covers with sexy robots on. Sure. You know the sexy robots?
Yeah, sure. I've seen a sexy robot. Rosie.
Right. And she went and she wore this to the premiere of Dune, which is perfect.
So her stylist's name is Law Roach.
Yes.
And Law Roach is like a legendary stylist. And they work very closely together. And they are always doing a theme. Like, whatever the theme is, they're doing that theme.
Yeah.
So if she's at the Spider-Man premiere, there's a web on her dress. Yeah. You know, it's something, or, you know, because there's so many international premieres, they come out where they roll out the looks, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
So, like, she did this one. Then she did one that looked like it had, like, a veil on it. She had one, like, a hooded veil. Then she had one that looked like a desert. Like, yeah. Very cool. She's so cool. She's so cool. She's such a... She really is model-esque. I know she did model.
Yeah.
But she carries the clothes very well.
Yes.
She's very poised. Mm. And I mean, she's absolutely stunning. So yeah, I love all of her.
Just
herself.
Look, just
really
the hands. Do. And how uncomfortable must it be?
Right? And she makes it look like she's wearing a t-shirt and sweats. Like, she makes it look even so effortless.
Can you even sit in it?
I'm very much a fangirl. So the year that at the Met Gala they did fashions... inspired by the Catholic Church, she came dressed as Joan of Arc.
In
like
incredible
full Joan of
Shaved
Arc
head,
like
everything?
No, she had like this very, and she wears a lot of wigs too. If like her hair is not matching the look, like she will just wear a wig.
Sure, sure.
So she had like this very blunt, like red bob that went with the Joan of Arc costume.
Incredible.
The year they did camp.
Mm-hmm.
She came dressed as Cinderella, like fully in a Cinderella outfit. And Law Roach was her fairy godmother, and he waved a wand, and her whole dress lit up. Like, the looks are always magnificent.
The butt cheek windows on the robot costume.
So good. And she's showing them off, and she makes all the other men look like dogs. Yeah. She makes them look like trash. And Timothée Chalamet, not a slouch in the fashion department, but she makes them look like shit.
Well, she upstaged everybody. She upstaged the whole fucking movie, which I'm going to see tomorrow, and I'm so excited.
Are you going to see it on the biggest screen possible?
I'm going to get one of those buckets and fuck it.
Are you going to see it at the Sphere? Because I would literally die.
No, I...
I never want to go to the Sphere. It has become my new number one fear, is entering the Sphere and going to see a show.
Yeah.
I never want to.
I don't
want
to do that either.
I hate it. It scares me.
Where is it?
It's in Vegas.
Vegas. Well, of course it is. So Zendaya, we're big fans here. Please come on the show.
Please come on the show. We love you. We know you love. We know you listen.
We know you listen. Oh, you want to go to Trailer Corner?
Sure. Did you see the trailer I sent you, Bill?
I didn't yet.
Oh my god.
What trailer did you send him?
I sent him Boy Kills World.
Boy Kills World. You want to start with that?
We can start with whatever you want to start with.
Let's start with Boy Kills World.
All right. Let's start with it.
So this.
Oh, you're gonna hear my description, and then you're gonna have to watch it immediately.
So this is an action comedy fun movie starring Bill Skarsgård
from
Pennywise.
Yes. So it's by Sam Raimi. So that's number one. Right?
Produced by Sam Raimi.
No, I think it's directed. Check it out. Maybe because it says, you know what?
Shut your mouth.
This has happened before where it says from a director, and I'm like, that's it. They directed it. And
from
then
you fall for it.
From is such a misleading word.
Boy Kills World. No, directed by Moritz Moore.
Oh, I love his work.
All right. I'm looking right now. Moritz Moore, basically shorts, just shorts.
Okay. So it's a Sam Raimi produced venture.
Yeah. Yes.
And starring Bill Skarsgård. And I heard the voice over the trailer. And I was like, wow, he really has a range. Like,
you didn't immediately clock it?
No, because I was listening to it in a room where a TV was on. So okay. I couldn't hear it completely clearly. If you're hearing it like as it's intended to, not with screaming children around, like you're going to know exactly who it is. But
it's John Benjamin.
It's John Benjamin. So the premise is basically like this rich family came in, destroyed this guy's family.
And they're like, one of them is like Brett Gelman. They're like an evil
Famke
rich
Johnson,
family.
Haven't seen her in a minute. She looks great. And they basically like run an evil enterprise and they're like ruling the world. And they put on like Running Man type competitions. Right.
That are like breakfast cereal,
mascots killing each other. Yeah. It's insane. So Bill Skarsgård's family is killed by their devastation. And so he goes on and he's struck deaf and mute, or was he always? Who knows?
Who knows?
But he said he had to develop an inner voice, and that voice is John Benjamin. So John Benjamin narrates the film
and is his from inner voice.
Is his inner yeah. voice. So you hear him, I imagine, throughout most of the
film.
He's
throughout the whole trailer.
Yeah, he's in the whole trailer, which is incredible.
And he got the voice because it was the last voice he heard on a video game, an right. arcade game.
An arcade game is like Street Fighter.
Right, basically.
And he's the voice of the Street Fighter. Right, yeah.
Like, finish him. Like, yeah. That's H. John
so that's
Benjamin.
His inner voice. So now Bill Skarsgård goes away. He grows up. He becomes like this powerful fighter and
yeah,
warrior.
Yeah, he dedicates his life to killing the people that killed his family.
Yeah. And then he has a crew. He joins up with a little
it
crew.
It's like crazy action.
Crazy, gory, bloody, mayhem, violence, action. And John Benjamin is there the whole way. So I can't wait.
I love John Benjamin with such a deep passion. I always, going back to Dr. Katz, Professional Therapist, I've always loved John Benjamin.
Oh, I liked him on he was the coach on Home Movies.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And of course, he's been Bob for a million years.
Yeah.
For Bob's Burgers. But given that I love him, though, do you think that it's a good idea? Or would it have been better to be like, I don't know, like somebody, what's his name? Fucking Job from Arrested Development. What's his name?
Will Arnett.
Yeah, like someone like that. Because I get that his voice is gravelly, but the minute I hear it, I'm like, Bob. That's Bob. It's Bob. I imagine I'm a middle-aged man with an apron and balding hair.
I actually think it's effective because I would argue that Will Arnett's voice, even though he's a comedian, is sort of like self-serious.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it would add like a level to the movie where you're like, am I supposed to be taking this seriously? Mm. Whereas John Benjamin, it's like, oh, you're not supposed to be taking this seriously. Like this is – like complete it is just the comedic touch on top of this over the top violence, because Will Arnett's voice works really well with Lego Batman.
Yeah, yes.
Because he takes himself That's so true. Seriously, like it makes it funny.
Right, right. Yeah, I think Benjamin's voice has this sort of like
he sounds tired. Put upon like he sounds just so tired. He sounds middle-aged. Like he does not sound like this kid who's got I don't care how old Bill Skarsgård is. He looks 16. Like he's got a teenager's face. Like he looks so young to me. And he's got, you know, he's also like shredded for this movie. And I thought
good for him for doing a movie that he's not going to speak in.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I like his choices. He makes a very interesting, odd choices. And also, he's going to be the Crow.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yeah, people are upset because the Crow looks kind of like people are saying it looks like Jared Leto's Joker because
he doesn't really
look like Brandon Lee. He looks more like tattooed and shit.
Yeah. Also, one of the tattoos, like the guy's eye is his nipple.
I'm going to go ahead and say something controversial. This is not a Hot Takes episode, but hold on, here comes a hot take. I think The Crow is one of the most overrated movies ever.
Do you see Bill? Do you see Bill right now? Do you want to tell him?
Sir?
You want to lay down your hot fact on him?
Are you going to tell me like...
I was The Crow three Halloweens in a row.
Great. Was it ironic? Or were you just super, super into it?
It was a really expensive wig and I had to...
Sure.
You had to get your use out
of it. Did you watch The Crow 2 straight to VHS or Crow 3?
Have you seen all the
Crows?
Here
we crow again.
Here we crow again.
Crow's City of Angels was released in the movies. I did have the production diary of it.
Okay.
Oh.
Wow.
I had the comic of Dead Time, which was supposed to be the third one, where it was... I forgot it. But the one with Eric Mabius was...
We've opened a door here.
We'll do a crow episode.
You have to do the crow episode.
We'll do a crow episode.
We need the crow lore.
So how do you feel about the way Bill Skarsgård looks as the Crow?
Shit, I was very upset.
Why? Who cares?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
He's more in line with the fourth Crow story, Wild Style.
I gotta go. I gotta go.
You could be making all of this up, and I would have no idea.
Wild Style. That can't be true. That's a Lego character.
But then there's Crow 7 fully automatic, which is my favorite.
There's a murder of crows. I know that.
Writer James Obar.
Who?
The writer of The Crow.
Oh, my God.
All of them?
Yeah.
Now, has there ever been a raven?
Yes. Edgar Allan Poe made that one.
Poe and the Crow. I'm sorry. Does he ever mention the raven and say how it's a much larger and cooler bird? I'm just saying. They're all very intelligent, you know.
Did you ever see that? It's a meme now, but it was, I guess it was a thread somewhere, and it was like, make single versions of plural things. And it's like, instead of jaws, it was jaw.
Yeah.
And instead of birds, it was bird. And then someone went, a single crow on the Orient Express.
Oh, I love it. Have you ever seen that picture of a crow holding a knife in its beak? It's like a real yes. photograph. They're amazing yeah. creatures.
So anyway, this movie looks good.
Yeah, I definitely want to check this out. It's in theaters April 26th.
Yes.
Go see it.
Oh, this is Bill Skarsgård's, his character is just named Boy.
Okay.
Incredible.
This is an interesting adaptation of that Roald Dahl story.
You think that's what's going on here?
I think so. I mean, listen, it's like the AI Wonka.
Yes. So we also looked at, let's talk about The First Omen. Because this trailer...
Very interesting trailer.
Yeah, this trailer took me by such surprise. Because number one, I've never been a huge Omen fan. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen the original Omen. Mm-hmm. And I remember the time... It's often clumped together with The Exorcist, which I think is like almost a perfect movie. Mm-hmm. And I remember the time feeling like this is nothing like The Exorcist. And
so by doing something very simple, they made the trailer arresting. Which was... They ran every scene in reverse. Yeah.
It's all backwards
it's
motion.
It's all backwards.
But it seems to
and
be
it
about.
It seems so. It just takes you. You're like, whoa, yeah, this is yeah. weird. Like, it's this beautiful. Is just weird.
It's and beautiful.
Yeah, it looks great.
It seems to be about a young woman who's becoming a nun, mm-hmm. But then is.
So is impregnated? Like, it seems.
I don't know. At one point, you see her mouth open and the roof of her mouth has the 666.
Okay. There's like blood, like a blood drip, like comes off her face and goes back yeah. up.
You see a car accident unhappen.
Yeah.
You see gloves jump onto someone's hand.
Yeah.
And it's just
nuns
super weird.
Nuns just all laying on the ground.
And then did you notice at the end of the trailer?
Like school children skipping backwards. Yeah.
At the end of the trailer, you hear something backwards. Uh-huh. And I'm pretty sure it's the line from the original movie. It's all for
it's
you,
all
Damien.
For you. Yeah.
When she hangs herself. Yeah. It's a prequel to us. There was a bunch of them. I only saw the first one, but it looks so good. I mean, it's just like it's clearly doing its own thing. And if it's anywhere near as interesting as the trailer was, then it'll be a good movie. They might have even have shot them in the foot by tying it into
the Omen franchise. Yeah,
I mean
yeah.
the 666 thing comes from somewhere, right? It's not.
It's biblical.
Yeah, so it could have been any. It didn't have to be tied into the Omen.
No, it could just be like a devil story. You know?
Right. I watched the trailer. And I was like, this looks amazing. And then when I saw The First Omen, I was like, I was like, really?
Right. And I think of these types of trailers, and I'm like, they all look the same. It's all sort of generic, you know, like a foreboding score over these just dark images. And it's not like the images are so different. It's just that they ran them in reverse, and that made all the difference.
Yeah, yeah. It's such a clever way to do a trailer.
It also just looks like beautifully shot. Like the shots look very nice.
Yeah, and it looks like it's, you know, it's a period piece of some kind. Mm-hmm. So everyone sort of. There's a lot of costume and
I love nuns in an abbey. I do.
Yeah.
I like it when they're singing, and I like
love
them when
they're dancing.
I love them when they're dancing. I love them when they're fighting the forces of evil.
Because it's super horny. It gets super horny in there.
Oh, it sure does.
But let's talk about Epic Mickey Rebrushed.
Rebrushed. I watched this trailer.
Yes.
I'm going to show it to Henry. Yes. Because they're very into the Mickey games. They yes. don't play them, but they watch run-throughs on YouTube.
Sure. Sure, sure, sure.
It looks gorgeous. It really looks stunning. Yeah. How old is the game?
It was a Wii game. I know Anthony actually played it.
Yeah.
I never played it. And then like a few years ago when I got into like Disney and into Mickey, I saw like videos on it and stuff. And like it's considered like a really good game. Mm-hmm. Like it was an incredible game. And the fact that they're remaking it is like, I'm so excited because mm-hmm. like it involves, it's a super involved story that weaves in like all of Disney lore yeah. and like Oswald the Lucky Rabbit is in it.
I did know that. Yeah.
It's like, and it's, I don't know. So a lot of Wii games, because the Wii had the particular system where like you had a controller, but then you had like a wand that you kind of point.
Mm-hmm.
And that was how you would like paint things, because the paintbrush thing was a big part of it. So I'm not sure how they have reconfigured that into the Switch controls.
Yeah.
But the...
Well, I think one of the Switch controls is like that, right? Like one of the... One of them only is... Yeah, that one. Yeah, I think you can do it in sort of similar motions.
Oh, okay. So maybe it'll be a closer analog to mm-hmm. that. The announcement trailer is actually, I think, from the beginning of the game, but it's completely remade. So, like, you can find on YouTube side-by-sides, and it's the same shot, basically. It's the same composition, mm-hmm. but it's completely redone. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because when they do these remade games, like, sometimes it's a very simple, cheap port where it's just like, here it is on this thing. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes it's a real scale-up, and this looks like they've gone to, like, Square One and like rebuilt it.
Yeah,
it looks incredible. It looks
like a new game. You know, yeah. It looks like it's I just love the animation.
Yeah,
I really didn't know much about the old game. I just knew it existed mm-hmm. out there, and it looks very compelling. It's like the Fantasia Wizard is Yen Sid.
Yeah,
right. Although, did they change his name? I thought I heard a different name in, like, the very beginning of the trailer.
Really? I don't know. I don't know if it's different in there.
But it's all about, like, animation and painting. Yeah. And it goes along the 100 years celebration of animation studios this year.
It's black and white rubber hose Mickey,
mm-hmm.
even though the world is colorful. And he's reading Alice in Wonderland through the looking glass.
Okay.
And then he goes through a mirror into the world of Fantasia.
Yeah.
And the wizard is, like... creating, it looks like Disney World.
Yeah,
like creating with like the a world,
and ink blots and stuff. Yeah,
and then he walks away, and Mickey comes and fucks with it, and he like creates an ink monster that looks kind of scary.
Yeah,
and then the monster comes through the mirror and fucking drags Mickey into hell.
yeah, and it's that voice of oh god, it's that, it's not, is it like David Ogden Steers, I think, does the voice? He's like the narrator of Beauty and the Beast.
Uh-huh.
He also is the narrator for the Mickey game Castle of Illusion.
Okay.
Which is more, it seems more like a kid's game.
I think the voice you hear is
the wizard.
The wizard.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
But he's like a Disney voice
Have
legend.
Your kids seen the newest Disney Illusion Island or whatever it's called?
I don't think so.
It was really good.
You've seen the trailers? Yeah, maybe we'll find a run through on YouTube because they watch Castle of Illusion like once a week. And it's more kiddie, but it's cute. It's like Minnie gets kidnapped by the witch from Snow White, but they changed her name to Miserable.
Sure, why
She's not? Jealous of Minnie's beauty.
Who isn't?
I mean, honestly.
Yeah. So I'm very excited about this game because I want to play it.
Yeah.
And I like it. Kind of happened. It's always interesting to me when something happens secretively now because there's such a open door with media. Like when something comes out and they're like, it's coming out this year. And you're like, holy shit, we didn't know about it.
Right.
It's always like, wow, how'd they do that?
Well, the other game I wanted to talk about was Princess Peach Showtime.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you watch the trailer for that?
Yes, I did.
It looks so cute.
It's like different like shows, right? Like every level is like a different
like theatrical production, and she's like a different character. So there's Chef Peach, there's Mermaid Peach, there's Musketeer Peach. Yeah. There's like all these different characters, and you have different abilities and powers when you're these characters, and. It's sort of like multi-directional, like platformer kind of.
Yeah, it looks good.
It just looks like so much fun. It looks like a blast. I'm glad Peach is getting her due, and it's not like some weird like umbrella gardening game or something.
Peach goes to CVS to buy pads.
That's it.
Well, on that note, let's take a break, and we'll come back with the Chosha.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to PCMC. That's Pop Culture, Man, Children. I'm Mike Mangiorno. I'm joined by Janine Gagliardi.
Hello.
How?
What was that?
Is there a Santa Claus on the roof?
That's someone.
Someone's stomping around up there.
Who is it?
You can't tell by the footfall which child it is?
Oh.
Here comes Daddy with wine on his breath.
We call him French Daddy.
When you go to sleep, I drink wine. Do not judge me.
Well, that's right. And I play with your Playmobil house.
And we play with your Ghostbusters toys.
What have I been chilling with? Did you ask me
I didn't ask
I'm
you
so
yet.
I'm so sorry.
Don't you dare. And besides, I didn't want to ask you yet. I wanted to talk about what I wanted to talk about, which is the Chizza.
Oh, Jesus Christ. The RZA, the Chizza?
The Chizza or the Chizza. I'm not sure.
I think it's going to be like a Chizza.
Chizza.
Chizzeria.
So, KFC.
Boy, they love people who are on keto. Right?
Their
genius. Infinite wisdom.
I think this is genius because I think they did something stupid on purpose for engagements. Because KFC said, how about pizza? But instead of pizza dough, it's just fried chicken.
It's fried chicken.
To which
no carbs.
The world said, chicken parm?
Right.
And they said, no.
Cheesa. It's got to be cheesa.
Cheesa. And if you go on their socias, every person that says, so chicken parm, then whoever they hire to be their engaging person goes, no, cheesa. Which makes me wonder, did they know how absurd this was?
It's so funny.
Because it's chicken parm.
It's chicken parm with pepperonis on it.
Yeah, that's all. That's the only thing, which by the way, someone in this world has put pepperoni on chicken parm at some point.
Some brilliant, beautiful loner.
And it's probably the worst chicken parm you've ever tasted. It's going to be awful.
Oh, but you know what? I mean, they did this a few years back when they made that sandwich where instead of bread, it was two pieces of chicken. I mean, it will give you a heart attack.
Like the double down? The double down,
yeah. Or the double stack?
Double bypass?
double, triple bypass? Yeah. Yeah. They're just... People who eat keto love this.
I've never done keto. It's all just...
It's like no carbs. It's meat, cheese, like so all the like stuff that's going to give you a heart attack. Essentially, yeah.
What people, the old people call Atkins.
It's like high fat, high protein. Yeah. But if you achieve ketogenesis, your body burns the fat immediately. So it's like you are processing fats differently. That's in theory. That's what it's supposed to do.
Yes, it was called the double down.
The double down.
A sandwich offered by KFC. Two pieces of fried chicken as opposed to bread. The genius of saying, how about instead of bread, fried chicken is... They're at it again with the cheesa.
They really... I love it. I love to see it.
The chizza. You know, in the old canon of Star Wars, the kind of music that they played in the cantina was called jizz.
That's very unfortunate.
In the new canon, they've renamed it jazz.
Yeah, sure. They should just call it like shrimp jazz or something.
I think they should go back to jizz.
It's called jizz. No, we're not changing the name.
Such George Lucas laziness.
Jizz. Let's say jazz.
Let's just change a letter, and I'm gonna have no awareness of what jizz means.
Jizz. No, I doubt he did.
Did you ever have a double down, by the way?
I don't think I did.
I did. This was when I ate meat. This was like 2009 or something. This was a while ago. And even a fat bastard like me, I found it just too unwieldy. It was hard to hold.
I bet it was, yeah.
Because it's hot fried chicken.
It's hot fried chicken. That's right. How are you going to hold it?
I found it too... here's the thing. Like, if you were to make it, like... make your own version of it at home, it would be better. But what you bought at KFC felt so constructed. Like when I was a kid, I worked at Subway, actually two different Subways. And I remember like you'd get the quote unquote ham and it was each slice was exactly the same proportions. And that's how you know it's not real.
Bless you. Right, because it goes through a factory to make it look like this that.
Every double down was exactly the same. And I imagine every chizza.
God. You know what I did have actually today? You won't have it. But I'm obsessed with the iPhone event. Like the Apple iPhone event that was the Taco Bell new menu item event.
Yes.
Where it's like a guy comes out with like a headset. He's in front of a black screen. He's like, we're going to show you the new Taco Bell
items. Love that.
I think it's so funny. So I had their cheesy chicken empanadas.
How was it?
Delicious. Just so good. Oh,
Taco Bell.
So delicious. Taco Bell comes up so often on this podcast. That crazy ass Cheez-It Did you see that?
No, I did not. What is it?
Okay. They showed...
Tell me about it.
It was like the moment you've all been waiting for. A new Crunchwrap Supreme featuring a Cheez-It. It's like, okay. So then they show the Crunchwrap Supreme right on the screen. Yeah. And then they show an X-ray. There's an X-ray image of the Crunchwrap. And inside, they're like 16 times the size of a normal Cheez-It. It's like a gigantic Cheez-It inside. I don't know that I would like that the way it tastes, but I will certainly try it.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now. Oh, god damn.
And also, they have Baja Blast Gelato coming. Yeah.
A little bit of a touch of class goes a long way.
I will be drinking this glass of wine and having that meal in days to come, I assure you.
I'll do this fucking...
The Crunchwrap. You make it bean. It would be delicious.
I like Crunchwraps. I only recently started to get into the Crunchwraps.
But it looks like... Cheez-It.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just reminds me of Cheesy Blasters.
You gotta get Cheesy Blasters.
Stuff it with some jack cheese. I do love the sort of hyperbolic, half-ironic, like... thing that you see now with these like small promotions,
right? Like, why not?
Like, why not? Fucking insane.
Take some garbage, shove it in your mouth.
Yeah. How about this crazy shit?
How about this thing I found in the trash can? Eat it.
Yeah. And you're like, yes, please, thank you.
You know, the people working at Taco Bell are just people who had dreams of fast food and then wrote the dream down and then they brought it into work and they were like, yes, sure, we'll make that.
Yeah. You bet. When I did work at Subway all those many, many moons ago. I remember thinking the opportunity that's missed here is peanut butter and jelly bar.
Oh.
Like a couple different consistencies of peanut butter and then also like an almond butter, whatever. And then like you could have a plethora of different jellies just in squeeze bottles. Why not? Why has this never happened at Subway?
It seems simple enough.
Yeah. I mean, they're doing foot-long cookies now and bullshit.
You don't really sell peanut butter and jellies, right? Like, that was the genius of Smucker's coming up with Uncrustables.
Yeah.
They were like, we're going to sell you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and you're going to buy it because you don't want to make it.
Yeah.
Mm.
I watched a great movie yesterday called – it came out in 2013. It's called What If Here, but everywhere else it's called The F Word.
Okay.
It's a romantic comedy with Zoe Kazan and Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh, okay.
It's a really cool, it's a really funny, really awesome movie. And in it, they talk about like a plot point kind of is like him and the girl. They talk a lot about this sandwich called Fool's Gold.
Fool's Gold.
Elvis would eat one a day.
Is it peanut butter, banana, and honey?
No.
Okay.
It is.
Bacon.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, first, you get a full Italian bread. And you smother it in butter.
Okay.
Then you bake that.
Okay.
Then you take that out of the oven, yeah. Open it up, remove the inside bread. A whole thing of peanut butter.
Yeah.
A whole thing of jelly. Bacon.
Uh-huh.
The king ate one of those a day.
Yeah.
And supposedly died with like so much undigested fool's gold inside him.
Oh my God.
He died. This joke has been said. He did die trying to take a shit. He,
like on the toilet,
he
right?
was like straining.
Did he have a heart attack?
Yes.
Hmm.
But he was the king.
And that's what made him the king. He died on the throne.
With sans bacon, I would try that shit right now.
Sure.
I would absolutely try it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's supposed to serve like eight.
But it served one.
Not the king.
One king.
It seems one king. Eight one people, king. One king.
It's king size. It's a king size sandwich.
That's goddamn right. Also, he would like, the place where it was invented, he would like fly there to get it. Like, I mean, he was crazy.
He's a crazy guy. He's a crazy rich guy. He didn't have Ninja Turtles as a birthday party. No. I'll tell you that much.
Since we're talking about food, you know what I've gotten into? It's not a current obsession, but it's something I'm chilling with. Have you ever heard of iced tea? You ever have iced tea?
I've had Ice Spice. Not her.
Iced tea. I always thought of iced tea. When I was a kid, I liked iced tea a little bit.
Mm.
You know, I loved an Arizona.
Oh, sure.
Who didn't like a Snapple back in the day?
I love an Arnold Palmer. Was it from Arizona, right? The bottled one?
Yeah,
Arizona. Half and half?
Yeah. But so I always thought of it as something sweet and kind of not healthy. But then I took a circuitous sort of route because for years I drank iced coffee and then I was like, it's too much coffee. It's bad for my belly.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, I want less caffeine. I want less acidic.
Mm-hmm.
So I started drinking iced tea, fresh brewed iced tea from like Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, okay.
Or from a cafe.
Do you add a sweetener?
No.
No, no sweetener. I do just unsweet. The tea taste.
Yeah, and I also get it from
do you do ice
Starbucks.
Cream?
No, because I want a little kick. I do iced. Some places call it English tea. Some places call it black tea. But just regular tea, ice. And if it's fresh enough, I think you really don't need the sugar.
Okay.
And it is super, what do you call it? It's just super refreshing. Mm-hmm. And it's really opened my eyes to what iced tea should be, like what true iced tea is. Because when I was a kid, we had a pitcher with like the fucking powdery sugar bullshit.
Oh, 4C, delicious.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And I loved it. It was like drinking.
So sugar bomb. It was delicious.
Like, yeah. And
I just keep saying that over and over again.
Fucking delicious.
Fucking delicious. I love that.
But now it's like a nice, like.
I don't think I drank water until I was in high school. I think I just drank iced tea day and night.
It was iced tea or Coke.
Like my seafoam green pitcher in the kitchen.
Yes.
In the refrigerator.
With that weird button on top. What was that button supposed to do?
It was a release.
Did it though?
No, it broke immediately. But it was just like for the freshness. You can keep the freshness in.
Keep the freshness in.
Yeah.
I remember my mom allowed me to make it, and it was like a witch's brew.
Oh, the best. That's the best part.
You had a big
My mother
stick.
Still has the 4C in the house, and the boys make the 4C. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, time to stir it. And best was when it would get stuck on the bottom, because then you knew the sugar was really kicking.
My trash family, the sugar in it wasn't enough. We then add white sugar.
No, stop.
We added extra sugar.
What you were adding to it was already just brown sugar.
Yes. Yes.
It's horrible.
But we added
a little bit extra.
We had a little bit extra. It was so thick.
Oh, it's so thick.
It was so gross.
See.
You know, it's so funny, like the way things
right
change. Because I feel like as a kid, I don't think my parents ever thought about like, sure, they eat this or not this. Mm. You know what I mean? It was the 80s. They were like, oh, you got to feed your kids. Here, drink Coke all the time.
Right.
Enjoy Coke. Oh, it's the morning.
No, you wouldn't have soda.
Have iced tea.
Soda was unhealthy. We didn't have soda in my house. We had a big pitcher of iced tea.
We had both.
Which probably would have has
or
like as
juice,
much
which is
or
like
more.
The king of fake healthy bullshit. I just drank pure sugar. I was probably dehydrated my entire youth.
Oh, we were all dehydrated.
And then
we
drank a sip of water, like 15. It was like, oh my God, what is this?
What is this? I've been waiting for this.
Oh, the colors come back to my cheeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Chizza.
Chizza. That's good. At least everyone's hydrated now. Yeah. You know, everybody makes fun of the Stanley people. Yeah. They're hydrated. Good for them.
So what are you chilling with?
Avatar The Last Airbender. I know.
I'm conflicted.
I'm not.
I'm real conflicted.
I'm not. I'm meh.
Meh?
Meh. Meh. It feels... There's some things I like about it. I think the kid who plays Aang is very charming. I think he's adorable. I think the fights look good.
Yeah.
The bending looks good.
Yeah.
I think they get the character design correct. That stuff looks good. And even, you know, like the big CGI cities and stuff, they look the way they should. I like Sokka.
Sure.
I don't like Katara.
You don't?
No. She's bad wooden kid acting. And she never knows what to do with her arms. She's frequently just like her arms are at her side.
like Jack Donaghy.
Yeah. Yeah. She doesn't really emote very much.
Is she better or worse than Charlie from Chris? Fucking.
Well, she's not as
Santa
annoying,
Claus.
But I'm.
She doesn't shit her pants as much.
I don't. This is probably an unpopular opinion. I happen to think Emma Watson is a bad actor.
You've said that before.
I do.
I think she's bad when she's 10. I think she's good now.
I don't think she's good now either. I don't. Wow. I watched everyone else improve and watched her maybe get worse, or maybe she just looked.
Yeah, she's not worse.
Maybe not worse, but she looked worse in comparison because everyone else was getting so good. And I'm rewatching the Harry Potter movies because
they all suck in the beginning.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Like
they're
whole,
little kids.
Like, no. That whole
what was I mean, that? No.
The whole point of that meme is that all of them suck at acting in that moment.
They suck in the beginning. Daniel Radcliffe gets great.
He's incredible now.
He's so great. And I think she sucks. And Katara is giving me a lot of that.
Wow.
She's like, what happened? Oh, and like whenever someone's doing dialogue,
so she don't have that great
her,
Mae Whitman.
No, she doesn't. But
I love the voices in the original.
Me too. She never is reacting when people are doing dialogue at her. She's just like, and her mouth's always hanging open. Oh, like, she's always catching flies, this kid. Oh. But in any event, here's, I think, the biggest sin it commits. It's kind of boring. It feels hollow. It feels like a CW show. Okay. At times, like, they feel like sets, which is fine, I guess.
Yeah.
But at times, it feels very empty. And then they're, like, in a like too crowded of a space. I'm like, where'd all these people come from? Like, where were these extras 5 minutes ago? It just feels hollow.
I will probably give it a chance.
I see why the creators walked off. Like, do it's you just,
see, that was a big thing for me.
It's the very creators mid, walking off, as the kids would say.
The creators leaving gave me bad feelings.
Yeah.
And, you know, when it was first announced, I thought, kind of like The Legend of Korra, it was going to be another show in this world. And then when it was announced that it was just going to be a remake, I felt like, and I'm not anti-remake, but I...
Well, do we need to see the story again?
It also feels like it's undermining animation and saying animation can't be important. Because it feels like this is poised, or they're positioning this to be like this is the ultimate edition, which is bullshit. Like, no. You did it already.
What these live action versions end up doing, like with the Disney stuff as well, is just show how much quality is in the animated version. Right. Yeah.
That can't Iroh,
you're going to hate.
Really?
Nothing's wrong with him. There's nothing wrong. But the vibes are off.
Oh.
The vibes are just off. I can't even... I've been trying to think, because I knew I was going to talk about it, and I've been trying to pinpoint, like, what is off about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're never going to replace Mako. And even towards the end of the season, when he had passed away and they hired a different voice actor, like...
He's just doing an impression of
Mako. Yeah, he wasn't really bringing Iroh. Yeah. But fine. But it just, it's not that at all. It's like a young guy, or not young, but like in his 50s with like white hair on him. And I'm like, oh, he looks weird. And he seems.
Did you see the movie?
Yes.
So how would you compare it to the movie?
Better. Much better.
Okay.
If you are.
But does it commit any of the same sins? I've heard it's a little self-serious.
Yeah. In that respect, it is. It seems like it's trying to inject the humor. But the problem with a lot of the humor in Avatar is that it relies on the animation. Like, it's a facial expression, or it's a character getting out of there, like, in a cloud of dust, or, you know, it's something like Looney Tunes-esque that you're not going to do in the live action. So, yeah.
But how many episodes is it?
8.
So it's book one in 8 episodes?
Yes. I think the last one, they're in the water tribe. I haven't finished the first season yet.
But what, I mean, in the original show...
Mm-hmm. No, there's more establishment in the animated show.
I feel like you've got a lot more episodes to tell a story.
Yeah.
Is it the book one? Is it season one?
It is, yeah. Yeah.
So it does. So it feels like they must really shrink it down. Three,
we were already up to Azula.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that doesn't.
They say the criticism of Azula is funny because they're like, she's too cute. Like, she's got, like, a cute round face, little chubby cheeks. She's adorable. Yeah. She's too cute.
My favorite character other than
Iroh
is Toph. Is Toph.
Toph.
And I wonder if they do a second season, I wonder how they'll accomplish it.
I need Toph in my life. The biggest sin is that it's not well written. The dialogue is clunky and sort of wooden. The way the story unfolds is not super well written. It's like not as well written as the show was. So I'm going to watch the whole thing because I am taking enjoyment from it. Like, there are parts that I do enjoy.
Sure.
And I like to see this world because I love this world so much. Like, Avatar truly is one of my all time favorite shows. I think it's a perfect series. Like, really, it has incredible. One of my favorite finales. Like, for me, as far as cartoons go, like, some perfect series, like Gravity Falls, I think is a perfect series. Avatar is a perfect series. They have strong finales. Like, they had such a good payoff after so much, like, wonderful character development and buildup.
Yeah.
So I love it. I really love it. I'm not bitter about this show. I'm going to watch through.
Yeah.
I think if you're a fan of the show, there's things that you're going to like. The Cabbage Guy is there. He shows up.
Very good.
Yeah.
I think you're right in comparing it to the Disney remakes. I think that's an apt metaphor. Because it is this futile thing of, even if you get very close, all it does is sort of bring to mind, why are we even doing this?
Right. Yeah.
Like, oh, you made it look exactly like it. Well, then we had it.
Yeah.
Like, it was incredible. It is incredible.
Weirdly, it doesn't seem like they put as much money as they should have into it.
Really?
It's a lot of empty rooms. Like, there'd be like six characters really in the throne room. With the, where's everybody else?
I want the real tea to be spilled about the creators and what they wanted.
Now, apparently there's more animation in the Avatar world coming from the creators, and that it's going to be different stories set in that world.
Good.
Which is good. That. That's what
Do
I
Do another
want.
Generation.
I haven't
Do another
seen Korra
one.
At all. So
Korra, here's the thing about Korra.
People don't seem to like it as much. Like, they say the animation's some people, better, but the story is not as good.
Some people like it more.
Okay.
The thing about Korra is you cannot go to it wanting the same flavor of the original show.
Okay.
It's what I wish I'd see with actually what I wish I saw with other franchises, mm-hmm. like Star Wars and Marvel, where like it's in that world, but it's very different. Mm-hmm. It feels different. The characters are different. It tells its story a different way. Its setting is very different. Mm-hmm. It's much more, it's like two generations ahead. Like her mentor, her old man mentor is Aang's son.
Okay.
So that's how far in the future it is.
Yeah.
Toph is in it as like a super old lady.
She's still alive, which is incredible.
And like now the world of Avatar is like steampunky. Because and now there's cars and shit. Like cool shit like that.
Oh, so they've advanced.
Yeah. So it's a totally different feel in that way. Mm. And Korra is an adult, like she's like a teenager, so she's a very different, she doesn't have that thing that Aang had where he was like, I don't know if I want to fight the Fire Lord, like she like from the get-go is like, I'm the fucking Avatar, I'm the best,
yeah,
like, and she's a celebrity because of it, like it's a totally different vibe from her. I like it, but it's not at all the same thing. But when they said, oh, this is gonna be a Netflix show, I was like, oh cool, it'll be maybe another generation.
Right.
Either way, for, you know. Also, one cool thing about Korra, if you like Avatar, is there's like a 3-episode arc that's the story of the original Avatar. And it's worth just watching those 3 episodes.
That's cool.
For the lore of it.
Yeah. Something that they did in the... So they have departed from the source material on a couple of occasions. Uh-huh. And every time that they have, I've liked it.
Okay.
Which I'm like, cool. It's sort of like what they did with The Walking Dead. I explained, like, Robert Kirkman. Yeah. He ran the show, but he changed a bunch of stuff.
Right.
Just for the fuck of it. Like, just for fun.
Well, some people speculate that that's what the creators wanted. They wanted it, that Netflix wanted it to be more like the cartoon. Yeah. And they had more radical ideas on changing it.
So one of the things they did was when they're at the Avatar, was it Kyoshi, the geisha looking one with the fan?
Yes.
They're at their island, at her island, at her shrine, and the Fire Nation attacks, and she said, she's like talking to him, and he's like, I don't know, like you said, like, I don't know if I want to fight, and she's very intense and like very aggressive, and it's just like, you have to fight, this is what you're for, this is what you have to do,
right?
And she comes on like real strong, and she's like, you want to see what an avatar can do? And she takes possession of his body and appears as the avatar in her form and fights the Fire Nation.
Interesting.
And then, and what's really cool is the Order of Kyoshi, like those fan warriors, see her as the avatar. Like they they don't see Aang, they see her, and they're all like kind of like in tears. They're like, oh my god, she's as amazing as we thought, like this is who we modeled ourselves on, and she's a miracle, like she's fantastic. And you see like powers that you don't see on the show, like she has her own avatar flavor, and it's very cool to see. And then when she leaves his body, you see it's just like Aang, like a little baby boy, like on the floor. So that was something that they departed from the source material, and I thought that was a cool change. I really like to see that. That was interesting. Yeah. So I'm watching for things like that, like more things along those lines.
Yeah.
But this has gotten me into watching a lot of old Avatar clips on YouTube, and I'm like, God, it was just so good. We've actually been watching a Nickelodeon Corporate Office video on YouTube quite frequently, if you can believe it. The boys are really into Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Sure.
And so they dressed up a guy as the temple guard, and they had him like jump out around the office and like scare employees. They love that video.
That's awesome.
Like a real hidden camera shot. We're going to the Nickelodeon Resort in May.
Where's that?
Punta Cana. Ooh. In the Dominican Republic.
Ooh. Have you ever been to the Nickelodeon like park in...
No.
American
Dream World?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's cool. There's two Ninja Turtle coasters, a Shredder one and a Turtles one.
Oh, okay.
And there's also a big Appa that you could
have. Oh,
you
cute. Could,
I have a picture of me with the big Appa. Yeah.
There's also, I think there's a Legends of the Hidden Temple rope course there.
It's an interesting place, that mall. There's also like a water park and an aquarium.
Yeah, the DreamWorks water park. Yeah. I've been to the aquarium and I've been to the Lego thing that they have there. There's like a Lego world.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've also been chilling with Poker Face on Peacock.
Oh, okay. Not the Lady Gaga song.
No.
Which is a great song.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
Poker Face.
It's like Columbo, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It's literally during the pandemic, Ryan Johnson watched all of Columbo and was like, I could do this. And he was like, who's the Peter Falk of our time? Oh, I didn't realize it was Ryan
Johnson.
Oh, Natasha Lyonne.
That's so funny.
But it is. Like, when you watch it, it's like, she is the Peter Falk of our time. She's got the gravelly voice. She's got the weird mannerisms. She smokes a cigar in it.
She smokes a cigar. I love that.
She does the, like, one more thing. Like, it's like, she is Columbo. It's incredible. It's so fun.
That's crazy. Didn't realize it was Ryan Johnson. Good for him.
Yeah. And it goes, like, even, like, the opening credits in the font, it's Columbo. He's like modeled exactly after Columbo. And he's not shy about it.
That's really funny. That's great. I love that.
It's a lot of fun. We got, I think I said before on the show, we got Peacock to watch the Ted show, which we loved. And then I started watching Columbo, and then together me and Jen were watching Poker Face. And
okay. How many seasons? Two?
No, just one.
Just one.
Just one.
Is it one and done?
I think there'll be one more.
Okay.
And unlike Columbo, it does like have an arc. Like, she's kind of going town to town, running away from something. So, and she's not really a detective. She's just like, much like Jessica Fletcher, she just finds herself amongst a murder and figures it out. Which,
I hate it when that happens.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't love that?
All right.
Yeah.
This is not my obsession. I know I sent you a bunch of these earlier today.
I'm sorry I did not get to watch them. I was at work at the time.
All right. So I've also been chilling with the algorithm fed me one served of these, you. Right? It served it to me and it caught my fancy. And it's a YouTube channel that seems pretty relatively new. There's only four. And now it's like shorts. It's YouTube shorts. So there's like a bunch from each segment, but there's only been about like four of these so far. And it's called Very Important People, and it's presented as like a Diane Sawyer type interview.
Okay.
But the conceit of the show is basically like they bring in comedians who are good at improv, and they put on like costume and makeup and like prosthetics and whatever. And the comedian doesn't get to see themselves until they're done. And then when they're finished, they have to create a character like on the spot. Like, wow. Who is this person? And then they come out and do the interview. Now, I didn't know any of this. I just watched a very strange interview featuring two like Marie Antoinette looking French people.
Sure.
And the accents were over the top. And it made me laugh so hard. And I was like, what the hell is this? That's like, incredible. What is any of this? I've never seen a single one of these people. I'm obsessed. The French one is my favorite.
Okay.
But there's also one where a guy has like a ventriloquist dummy, and the ventriloquist dummy is like a BAFTA award-winning actor, British actor.
Yeah.
And the guy who is his puppeteer is just like some like pock-faced nerd guy who does not seem to have control of this puppet at all and is like – very uncomfortable about his relationship to this puppet and is
that's incredible.
It's so strange. Another one is like I don't know how to describe this person. It would just be like someone who would perform at the Gathering of the Juggalos, I feel.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
And then the last one is a guy with like a ton of prostheses on where he looks like he's like a very like roided out muscly guy, but he has tiny little doll hands. And at one point he's just like eating protein powder with his little doll hands. I'm just like, what? This show is so bizarre. And the host is great because she's improvising as well. Like she's, you know, acting off of them, and she just always remains composed and is like really keeping her cool together as a journalist. It's just so funny. So I encourage you to go check it out. I shall. I don't know what this is. Very Important People, it's called. And the French ones are my favorite. They are. Like one of the things, it's like, the character that they came up with was they were two French living dolls.
Sure.
And she's like, so we're going to do rapid fire questions. How old are you? And the female one is like, well, French people measure their age in crumbs. So I don't know. And so then the guy is like 400, 500 crumbs. So like 14. She's like, we're between like 14 and 40 years old. Like, I was like, God.
That's incredible.
Measuring your age in crumbs is so
That's
French.
So incredible.
Measure Asian crumbs. Oh.
yeah, I have to watch this. It sounds good. Sometimes the algorithm...
It gives you some good stuff sometimes.
Sometimes it gives you both hands, you know?
It gives more than it takes sometimes, yeah. You know?
Well, let's take a break.
Yeah.
And you can get some more wine.
Oh, I don't know if I will. I got little children who they're going to be up early.
We'll come back and talk about our current obsessions.
Okay.
Welcome back to PCMC. This is Pop Culture Man Children. This is our current obsessions. Janine, what are you obsessed with?
Well, what I'm really obsessed with this is Playmobil, Ghostbusters, Firehouse, and Ecto-1A. That's right in front of us that I built this week. Bill put the structure of the Firehouse together, but we built a lot of it. And then I built the Ecto-1A.
I have this Firehouse myself.
Mm-hmm.
People really sleep on this because the Lego Firehouse, I think, got a lot of the
Does Lego
acclaim.
Have a firehouse?
Yes.
They do.
And
okay.
It's huge and very expensive.
Yeah.
But I like this one because
It's more like a dollhouse.
Yeah.
You really
I mean,
play with it.
The Playmobil characters are very, you know, distinct.
I'm obsessed with the accessories, like all the little accessories in Egon's laboratory and the... I just love that the containment unit works.
Yes.
Like, it's just so cool. The trap that comes with it goes in the containment unit and closes. Right. Like,
it's
all
like
just
the
so,
movie containment unit.
It's beautifully detailed. I just love it. I really love it. And I've been enjoying the hell out of it and maybe yelling at them when they put the pieces everywhere. I'm like, guys, have respect for this thing.
Yeah.
This is the firehouse. He's my son is three. So might be, you know, taking it a little too seriously. But in any event. Oh, did it have to pop in?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably hanging on it. In any event.
When we were kids, the original firehouse, which I know you have somewhere.
It's in the basement, yeah.
We would make a sword out of the, the thing.
Yeah.
The
Our fire pole is broken. It's gone. Yeah.
I think every kid did that.
Well, Bill's original fire pole was broken.
The fire pole in this is what the fuck is this even?
I know. The Kenner one has a platform and the dolls like fit their feet into the platform and then it kind of like spins around, which is really cool. This one they just fall down.
Yeah.
They just fall down real
just
fast.
Just fall down to the
But what
death.
I like to do is I like to put the ghost on there cuz she likes to go down the fire pole
sometimes.
Too.
Yeah. You bet.
So that's like really my obsession. But I will say that I've been watching a ton of videos about Tokyo Disney and Tokyo Disney Sea.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, this is major bucket list.
Yeah.
Major bucket list item.
What are you excited about?
Mostly Tokyo Disney Sea.
Yeah.
So at the same time, Disney food blog creator AJ and Molly, who used to be from All Ears, and she now has her own YouTube channel called Mammoth Club, both went to Tokyo Disney. And I don't believe they went together, but they just happened to go at like the same time.
Sure.
So they were both churning out videos about it. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm watching all these videos.
It's exciting.
And what a jewel box. And how interesting and how different they do things there, because the land is not owned by Disney. It's like one of the only parks in the world land. Oh, it's not?
It's not.
Oh, I was going to say. So the land is owned by the Oriental Land Company.
Yeah. Which is what allows them to have like different things in their own merch mm-hmm. and all of the crazy shit that they have.
So many cool things. They're obsessed with old presidents, which is really weird. Mm-hmm. They have like the Teddy Roosevelt Lounge and like all these Teddy yeah. Roosevelt things.
And they were the ones who also created those like kawaii characters, like the teddy bear.
Like Shelly Mae or like whatever. Yeah. yeah. It's that's like the girl bear.
Yeah. And like it, like its face is a Mickey symbol.
Yes. They have like, the bears. Mickey wasn't they have like cute a enough. Fox. They have a bunch of extremely cute ones. They were saying yeah. like these dolls are maybe more popular than the Mickey characters are in the parks.
Right.
And they have like photo ops for the. So they assume that you're coming with your doll.
Yes.
And then they yes. have these photo places throughout the park. So it's like a little platform where it's built for you to put your doll so you can take a beautiful picture of the doll.
Yeah.
Really cool. Like just like so cute. And then so one of the things I'm obsessed with, there's like several things I'm obsessed with about these parks. One is Tokyo Disney Sea. Anything that you see in the park is
Duffy,
not
Duffy, by the way. Is
oh,
his
Duffy.
Name.
That was Duffy. It. Okay, Duffy is the bear. Anything that you see in the park is not a facade. Not like when we go to Disney and we see all the facades, we're like, right. wow, that looks so cool. You know, it's a facade or it's right, like right. a forced perspective.
Right, right.
Like you could say, like you could look in Tokyo Disney Sea and be like, hey, that's a cool lighthouse over there. I'd be like, do you want to go explore it? We can. Like, you can go in the lighthouse, go look around. Like, anything that you see, like, if yeah. there's a ship, you can go in that ship. If there's a castle, you can go in that castle. Like, it is like an open world, like, video game where you yeah. can go into any part of this park and check it out and, like, go see for yourself what it's like. Incredible. Yeah,
it's definitely something I want to do.
So cool. The other thing that is I was, like, stunned by is, what are you picking out, lint?
No, no.
What's happening?
It's my,
Is it your tag?
Yeah.
Do you need a scissor?
No, it's not the... No, it's not my tag. It's the loop
oh,
thing.
Oh, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Just very distracted. It was like, you're sorry. Just coming up
I'm
with
just
fabric.
I'm just picking lint out of my butt.
Just, what's happening? The thing about Tokyo Disney Sea that is really crazy. It
First
is,
of all, can we talk about how just smart the name is? Like Disneyland, Disney Sea.
Disney Sea.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on the ocean, on the real ocean.
Yeah.
So at a certain point, the rubber meets the road and you are on the actual ocean uh-huh. of the world. Like, that's crazy to me coming from Anaheim where you could see like LAX
right.
like flights overhead and Orlando, right? Which is a swamp right. in the middle of Florida.
Have you seen that ride that's like the center of the earth, Journey to the Center of the Earth?
Yes.
And it has like a big scary like lobster man
yes.
thing?
Yes. There's a lot of like steampunk Jules Verne stuff
yes,
there.
Yes.
Tokyo Disney Sea has a bunch of ports.
Yes, yes.
So they obviously have that. They have Mermaid Cove. They have the American Harbor. They have yeah. like all kinds of crap. It's so cool. And they're building new ones. They're building a Peter Pan land that's opening either this year or next year.
That's awesome.
That they're going to have Pixie Hollow. Tinkerbell's getting her own ride.
Peter Pan land. That's so cool.
Yes. They're going to have a Captain Hook's restaurant. They're going to have a Peter Pan ride there, but not the Peter Pan flight ride. It's going to be a different
cool
one.
New ride.
So I'm so excited for that. I'm just like, I got to get there. I got to get
Me
there.
Me too. Me too. I am totally
I'm
with you.
I'm dying to go.
And while there, go to
Studio Ghibli Land.
Well, I was gonna say go to Universal.
Oh, absolutely. I want to
go on the Jaws
like,
ride.
It is
still there.
Oh, I know. A bucket list item for me is truly to do a theme park trip of Japan. Like, I know everyone's going for the beautiful culture, and you know we gotta see those cherry blossoms. But
right.
I want to go to theme parks. I want to go to all the theme parks. I want to do like robot restaurants. Yeah. I want to be like big, loud, yeah. and crazy Japan.
I'm a real weeb, you know. So like I.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I want to go to Toho Studios and see the giant Godzilla statue outside.
I want to go for like a month.
I
want to
do everything.
I
want
to go for like
it's
a very
long time. It's
the
place in the world
time.
That I want to go more than anywhere.
More than anywhere, yeah. It has risen through the ranks for me like very recently. I'm like, I got to get my ass to Japan.
Yeah.
Like, I got to go.
It's
and I, like,
so
I,
far.
I would love it's so goddamn
it's
far. Like,
so
I know I'm going
go.
Once. Like, yeah. it's only going to happen one time. So I want to get it all out. Like I want to take the kids. Like I'm dying to go.
In an alternate universe,
the snacks are so cool looking. All the yeah. merch. I want to go with like a second suitcase to bring all this shit.
Oh yeah, I've bought some Tokyo Disney stuff from eBay.
Oh, I'm sure you can. Yeah,
yeah. I've got like a Halloween Duffy, like in a like he's got like a pumpkin shirt.
Oh, cute.
And a couple other Halloween things. Because they just have their own shit.
They have their own stuff. They have their own vibe. They have this like big band beat show featuring Mickey, where it's like an old timey 1930s like jazz tap dance show that is apparently the hottest ticket in town. Like it's a great show. Everybody loves it. Mickey's like hoofing it on stage. Like he's dancing. He's playing drums. He's doing crazy shit. Like I'm dying to see that. They have their own like system. Like you have to pay for the monorail there. It's not much, but you have to pay. But they have cute like Mickey shaped windows. And the other thing I love about all of it is, now, of course, you can't make generalizations about like an entire country's worth of people, but culturally, they're courteous people and they are courteous of their fellow man.
Yeah.
And to the point where Molly from Mammoth Club was saying, you can bring a full meal into the shows because they know there will not be a wrapper or crumb on the floor when you are done. Like, you will take all of your stuff out.
Yeah.
One of the things that's fascinating to me is in Disney World, it's like pretty well known that there's a garbage can every 30 feet.
Yeah.
Because Walt Disney, in his infinite wisdom, followed guests around the parks and noticed, okay, about 30 feet.
He knew we were garbage people.
They litter. That's when they litter.
Yeah.
So that's, we need to have a garbage can every 30 feet. There's like nary a garbage can in Tokyo Disney or in Tokyo in general. Because people just like
put in their pocket,
fold up their garbage and put it in their bag or like their pocket. They take it home with them and throw it out in their own private garbage can, which is so wild to me.
Yeah.
Parades.
I used to do that like, with cigarettes. When I was a smoker, I used to do that. Because it always blew my mind.
I feel bad throwing a cigarette on the floor.
It's such a normal thing. It's like to litter with your cigarette butt. And I always be like, that's so fucked up. Like, yeah. I would like...
Let's throw it out in the garbage and so on.
Yeah.
The parades, they sit down. So there'd be like rows and rows of people just sitting down enjoying the parade, just vibing.
Just vibing.
There's hotels in the parks. So when you leave the park at night, the hotel guests who have already gone to their rooms do a light show with their cell phone camera light. They That's all awesome. Do like they like wave at you and like it's just like people just being nice to each other. I'm like, God, I'm like the Japanese, they're doing something right over there.
Yeah. Do you know there's a new this is my obsession, but there's on Staten Island where we live, there's a new Kawaii store.
Really?
Yeah, it's on Forest Avenue. I was just there today. Yeah, it's just all cute shit. It's just all cute stuff. I bought Jen a little keychain. I think it's Hello Kitty or it's Sanrio. It's a keychain, and on the keychain it looks like a little camera.
Okay.
But when you turn it on, the camera actually projects an image on the wall. Cool. And then when you click it, like you're taking a picture, it shows a different slide.
Oh, it's like a viewfinder?
Yeah. But it's projecting.
That's cool.
It's awesome. And I bought some little like I'm really like obsessed with space people.
Space people?
Yeah, like any design, like if you put them in like a spaceman suit, I'm like, that's 100 times cooler. So they have like these little like, I forget what they're called, but these little figurines, they're all like different colors and stuff of like, I can find a picture on my Instagram, of course.
I love vintage space aesthetic, like retrofuturism.
Oh.
I love, like Tomorrowland is like, absolutely. I love that.
Yeah, this I got.
Peter's really into space, weirdly. Like, he's like, I want to be, like, he puts on his astronaut costume all the time. It's like, first Ghostbuster, second Spaceman.
Kawaii this is the Kawaii shop. Yeah.
So cool. That's adorable. Is that like a character, like an established character? Is that just,
I think
like,
it's
a little
just
figure?
A cute. Oh, Space Molly. That's her name.
Space Molly.
She's Ooh, just
sometimes
a cute.
Sometimes you take that Molly, you'd be rolling in space.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and like she, you know, you could get every different color, whatever.
Sure, of course.
I love vinyl. Toy like things. There's this new thing that I cannot get because it's like $500 and I can't as a responsible person do it. But do you know Scareglow from Masters Universe?
No.
Scareglow. Well, you watched. Didn't you watch Revolution or Revelation?
Yeah, I did.
So
it's been so long now. I don't remember much.
All right. So Scareglow basically looks like Skeletor, but he glows in the dark.
Cool. Love it.
I
thought Skeletor did glow in the dark.
No.
That's a shame.
So this is... Okay.
Oh, eBay.
Well, I don't have time for your shenanigans. This is what the original Scareglow figure looks like.
Oh, I love him. He's like Jack Skeletor.
Right. So, who is it? Mondo, I think? So Mondo put out this thing for like $600.
Oh my god.
It's a giant size one.
How big is that?
Look at the packaging.
I need a scale. I need like a penny for scale. That's cool. I love that.
It's so beautiful. Well, I can't.
No low battery. 20% remaining.
I know. I'm gonna have to plug her in. I've seen pictures of the scale of it, and it's like, holy shit. It's big. I want it, but I can't have it. You can't live like this.
No.
You can't go, I need a $600 scare glow. Do I want it? Yes. Can't have it.
It's getting like that in this house with the amount of Ghostbusters stuff that we have. Although Henry has developed a fandom. He's into Harry Potter now.
Oh, nice.
Weirdly got, you know what? It's one of those things. Like, there's a lot of people like bemoaning like the loss of, I think you guys were talking about this in the First Wives Club episode, mm-hmm. how like cable would introduce things to people.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it introduced Harry Potter to him. Like he was aware of it.
Yeah.
And then we went away. We went to the Great Wolf Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we were back in the hotel room, like E was playing like a Harry Potter marathon. Mm-hmm. And so he'd be like, oh, I want to watch it. So he got into it that way. And so when we came home, he's like, can we watch the first movie? I was like, sure. So
you're
now we're like,
fuck,
we're
yeah,
going.
We can.
I was like, hell yeah. So now we've been going through it. And he's young. He's only five. Like he's it's too much for him. I don't know that he understands it necessarily, but he likes it.
There's fucking magic going on.
Right. And he was like, the movies are better than the books, right? I was like, oh, you sweet summer child. I was like, let's get your reading down, Pat. Okay. Then we'll read those books. So we'll see. I don't know. Maybe the Easter Bunny will bring some Harry Potter stuff.
Maybe. So my obsession is I got myself a stupid big 50-inch TV.
Okay.
In a bedroom.
I think that's 52.
Yeah. Imagine that in a bedroom.
In just a bedroom. Okay.
It's like kind of stupid. It's like a little stupid too big. And you know, the one thing in America that's cheap is TVs. It's
so
crazy
cheap.
How cheap they are.
Which is crazy because
it was like
$300 as hell.
Yeah.
We've never bought a new TV because it's not right. Broken.
Yeah.
But Bill's like, you know, you can buy a TV for like $20. I was like, I don't know.
I wanted a new TV. I wanted a bigger TV, but me and Jen were just walking through Target and I saw like for like $250 was like a 55-inch.
Jeez.
And thank God I didn't get it because it would literally not fit. So then I was like, oh, maybe I should get the 50. And like it didn't fit at first. I was like, I had to basically I had my old TV on a dresser. I had to take furniture lifters and put them under the dresser so I could lift it up and then it would fit. It's almost a third of the – it's a whole wall. It's incredible because –
how has it improved your life?
In so many ways. Everything I watch, I'm like, I could see the hairs
on
this person's face. I watched Star Wars and I was like, I can see every little knob. And it's like this is incredible.
That's
this is
crazy.
This is what I deserve. And this is what everyone deserves.
TV is so old that I feel like our kids are going to be like – like when they get a TV themselves or if they go to somebody else's house and be like, what? How can you see this stuff?
What did you pay for that?
I didn't.
Okay.
This is from when my mother lived here.
She probably paid way more than you can for
I'm sure.
Than you could get
I'm
for
sure.
Now.
It's this TV is about 16 years old, 15 years old, I would say.
It was probably like way up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that TV like 300. Or less.
Less, probably.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But and it would be much thinner now, too. And it would be a smart TV. We have, like, HDMI cables in this thing.
But you know the sound on all these TVs sucks.
Really?
I watched, who was it? Somebody did a video on why do people need subtitles
yeah, yeah,
now.
Yeah.
And there, it's myriad reason, but one of them is...
It doesn't project sound well.
Right, because there's not a lot of space to put sound
in
because they're getting flatter and flatter.
Yeah. That's, I think, why this one has held up because it's actually a little thick. It's like a flat screen.
Right.
But it's a thicker flat screen.
Yeah,
so
they're thinner now.
Yeah. It doesn't sound tinny at all.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
And we don't have like a sound bar or anything.
But you could get, you get a much bigger TV.
I bet I could. I don't want a bigger TV.
Don't you, though?
The kids watch iPads. They stick it right up on their face.
What about you?
I watch it on my phone.
Oh, okay.
While I'm on the toilet.
All right. Well, on that note, I think we should say goodbye.
Just end this episode.
This has been Pop Culture Man Children. I'm Mike Maggiano. I was joined by Janine sitting on the toilet, Gagliardi.
Just call me the queen. I'm doing it like the king. You know it.
Sitting on the throne.
So he's sitting on that toilet full of bacon.
We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.